They were cut off from the presence of God. They were no longer his children in the family of God because of sin. You know, and we know that sin is just disobeying God. You know, and he gave them that one law, and they broke it. And at that moment, they were cut off. You know, they died. And we have to accept Christ and come all the way with him to receive that new birth. You know, that we are again alive, that new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, and he lets us know that at his second coming, the ones that he is coming back for, the ones who are prepared to be there with him, are the ones, as he says here, that have had their lamps trimmed and burning, which means their lives arrayed in righteousness. Their vessels filled with oil, and he explains that, which is our lives and our works that have to be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, and that's the purpose that John came to give the authority, so that he would open the way that our lives and our works could be filled with the Spirit of God. You know, so that they would be acceptable unto him. And again, as we're going through this, you know, if there are questions, comments, scripture references, you know, please share them, you know, so that we can all participate and grow in Christ. Back to the 82nd message. I'm going to read one more verse, and then we're going to go around the room. Third verse is, I come and speak in your language that you may understand and impart it to the children of men. You know, again, you know, the Lord does all things in wisdom. It would be no wisdom for him to come and speak in a different language that the scribe didn't understand. So he comes and gives him the message in his language so that he can write it, so that he can move forward.
I got a reference of Message 14:3. It says, as I come to you in your language, so I am commanded to bring a record from other people in their language, which will also bear witness in the like manner of God's dealing with them. There will be people from time to time to bear records of the truthfulness to them of the things which I've given you. It's just like what Brother Ed just said. If John came to Otto Fetting and Brother Graves and spoke Hebrew, it wouldn't have done any good. But he brought it in the English language because that is the predominant language spoken in the world in this era. And then it's for there to be translated into other nations and other languages and taken out. Because business, the world over, commerce, the world over, English is the majority language now. And so that's why the Lord sends his messenger this day in English. If the world spoke Hebrew, he would have sent him, and we all speak Hebrew. But it's not the case today, you know, in these times. So
that's true. Sister Lyles, would you read 4 and 5?
82nd. You are the remnant of the faithful down to this day and time in which the Lord will do a work and deliver his people as in the days of old. 5. Be faithful, and the word shall deliver you and all the faithful, but to those that doubt and reject shall not be there.
All right, well, I told Ed I had a comment if he didn't. To me, that takes the 12th message, verse 4, because he's telling us here back in 1965, and it's just as pertinent today, in 2016, that God has rejected all creeds and factions. But you have to have this authority. You have to come to his church. Anyway, I just got to get closer. There you are. You got to go, not 112, 12:4, sorry. Behold, the Lord has rejected all creeds and factions of men, who have gone away from the word of the Lord and have become an abomination in his sight. Therefore, let those that come to the church of Christ be baptized, that they may rid themselves of the traditions and sins of men. I'm going to stop there. But that's what the Lord is saying, that he's coming, and to the faithful alive this day, you know, we are the descendants of the people that was faithful back in 1927 and 1929, that when this message came, they went through the waters of baptism because the Lord had rejected that first 100 years where the priestcraft kind of did what they wanted to do, where the priesthood tried to rule it man's way, and then the Lord sent his messenger. And he said, you have to be baptized today. And so in 1965, when he gave the 82nd message, and in today, in 2016, we are the remnant of the faithful that stayed firm. And so in 2026, there'll be people because these guys stayed firm because you stayed firm. And that's what the Lord is saying, that down through the faithful, his decree has not changed.
And I've got a reference to Message 91 and 5. talking about the remnant, and remnant sort of means a remainder. It means, you know, sort of what's left over. You know, it's not necessarily a large number, but it's what's left over. And in Message 91 and 5, he says, "Fear not, for this is the Lord's work. I have come to you. I have called other servants to help in this work. Though they be few, yet a great work can be done. For the Lord of the vineyard shall labor also, that the work might be done, for it must go in haste." You know, so the Lord wants us to know that though there be a few, still a great work is going to be done. You know, it doesn't take a huge group to do the work that the Lord is going to do. I always think about Gideon and how he had a huge number, and the Lord whittled it down and kept whittling it down until he got a few, you know, that he chose that would do what he wanted them to do. And they were able to go and win the battle. So, you know, because it's not by our strength that the work is going to be done, but it's going to be done by the power of God. You know, as Scripture says, not by strength or might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how the work is going to move forward. You know, so we can't look at numbers, or we can't look at, oh, I can't do this or I can't do that. Because the Bible says that, you know, I can do all things through Christ Jesus. All things. You know, and there's nothing too hard for God if we keep our trust in him and keep seeking to do his will in our lives. Back to that 82nd, 5th verse where he's saying, "Be faithful and the word shall deliver you, and all the faithful, but to those that doubt and reject shall not be there." You know, and if you look back in the history of how the Lord has dealt with mankind from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden all the way down to today, it's always been by our faith, you know, willing to trust him and follow him, you know. But those that reject and those that, you know, have fear and doubts, they're not the ones that the Lord is going to use, because he can't use them. You know, and all things that we do for the Lord, we have to do it in faith. You know, we, as the scripture said, we walk by faith and not by sight. We don't do things because it looks like we can do them. We do them because Christ says we can do them. And if he says we can do them, then we can do them. You know, but it has to be by faith in his word. Brother Lyles, would you take, read the 6th and the 7th?
Just before we do, can we come back to the word remnant just for a minute?
Okay.
I was looking for it while you were talking.
Okay.
But if you go in the book of Ezekiel, in the 5th chapter, I'm going to read 6 down to 9, back 6 down to 10. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel, prophesy against them, and yet say to the mountains of Israel, Hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills, to the rivers and the valleys, Behold, I will bring a sword upon you. I'll destroy your high places. Your altars shall be desolate. Your images shall be broken down. I will cast down your slain men before your idols. I will lay the dead carcasses of your children of Israel before their idols. I will scatter your bones round about your altars. In all your dwelling places in the cities I have laid waste, and the high places shall be desolate, that your altars may be laid waste in desolate places, and your idols may be broken and cease, and your images may be cut down, and your works may be abolished, and the slain shall fall in the midst of you, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Yet I will leave a remnant, that some may escape among the sword among the nations, when you shall be scattered in the country." If we think about how Israel is being those that follow Christ. Some people want to get confused and think that he's talking about the Jews. Everybody in this room is the tribe of Israel. And he said he's going to scatter the people of the Lord that believe to a remnant. But who's going to be spared the sword? It says a remnant. But why are they going to be spared? Because they're being faithful to God. I'll read verse 6 and 7.
What chapter are you reading?
That was out of Ezekiel chapter 6. And then you get down here in verse 6 and 7, which ties into what I just read. It says, they that deny, and we're in 6 and 7 of the 86th message where you asked me to read. 82nd message, excuse me. Did I say 86? Somebody slapped me in the head. Hit me in the back of the head. Oh, okay. They that deny and reject my words are as clouds without water. Oh, they have the image of God, but not the Spirit of God. A lot of the churches today are like that. And a lot of the people in the church, in God's church, are like that. We have every reason to have the Spirit of God, but we're not. Because we're not acting. How good and great vessels of honor could have been for those that were once filled with the gift of this work, but now turned from it. they choose darkness rather than light. Hence, let them be released from their charge and responsibility. Remember, the day comes when there will be no more evil in all the land of God's people, for peace and tranquility will be serene there. You care if I add eight to that?
Go ahead.
Where are those with the patience to believe that God's in God's word and plan? The plan of God is plain. It's, I hate to say it, it's always been cause and effect. It really has been cause and effect. They told Adam and Eve, if you do this, I'll bless you. Do this, you're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
But it's paying attention to God and to his word and walking therein. Belief is a verb, it's an action. It's something we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We have to perform it.
Amen.
It isn't just, you know, the devil believes, is he saved?
No.
No.
He believes and he knows that he's God. He's not saved. We have to follow through. We have to believe and receive the same.
Amen.
Sorry.
No, no.
He's still there.
No, and you know, when you read, if something, you know, if you have a feel for, to explain what that means to you, the verses that you read, I want people to, you know, say so that we can then, you know, add more to it or correct or...
Well, you can correct me.
No, I mean, I want you to give, once you read it, give what the Lord puts on your heart about those verses.
Can I say something?
Mm-hmm.
This is not an exact correlation, but, you know, when he says that the people who reject him are clouds of wet water, empty vessels. We were talking about what happened in Florida and, you know, what could cause somebody to do that. And my thought was, they're empty because they don't have God to show them that this... So they're looking for something. People are empty and they're looking for something and they're just accepting anything that somebody will give them because they're trying to fill. Now, this is talking about people who've left the Word, but people in general are like that. I mean, that's why they're receiving so many things that are just bogus out there in the world because they're empty and they're looking for a way to fill themselves.
Well, I want you to think just a minute in agreement to what you're saying, Carol, is a slight expounding of the same thought. You remember when Jesus walked upon the earth and he and, you may not remember, you're not as old as me. I'm getting ancient. But when he walked upon the earth and he came upon the fig tree, everybody remembers that?
Oh, yeah.
And he cursed the fig tree. Why did he curse it? Because it didn't produce anything.
A false hope.
Amen?
Amen.
And it withered and died, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Now, we're supposed to be the children of God. And how did he say we would know by our fruit? Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead.
Amen.
We say we have faith, but if you don't have any works, where's our fruit? I don't want to be like a fig tree and be cursed and die. You know, and one last thing, and I'll be still. I'm sorry, I've talked too much already. But if we think about it briefly, just for a moment, brothers and sisters, if you truly dwell upon that subject, just for an instant, our responsibility as Christians, whether we're man, woman, or child, is to be alive in Christ, to have the resurrection alive within us. And if it's alive within us, we're going to produce other fruit, aren't we? Because people, if you think about it, we desire to have life. Do we not?
Yes.
When you think what society is looking for, they're looking for happiness, are they not? They're looking for success. They're looking for joy. They're looking for peace. What does God have to offer in that? And all those things, but through us. God could, yes, God can just boom, speak it, and it happens. He said, let there be light, and there was light. But why did he create us? He created us out of love, amen?
Amen.
And he wanted us to let love reproduce into others.
Douglas wants us to read Romans chapter 1. It says he gave them up to reprobate mind. I'm not sure if he wants that whole...
Romans chapter 1? What verse?
Well, verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. I'm not sure if that's a...
Yeah, I guess that's... kind of goes along with the first part of the sixth verse where it says that they that deny and reject my words or as clouds without water, empty vessels.
Well, in Romans 2, if you look at verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Mm-hmm. And we all have a tendency, some of you have watched the videos I show, and the creation of God is unbelievable. I mean, it's, maybe you folks don't think it's beautiful, but to me it just overwhelms. But if you think about the creator who created that, can you create that? Can you make a sunset that beautiful? Can you make an animal so perfect? Can you take that child back there and give it sight? God did. We should look at the creator more than the creation.
Yeah, but we've lost that today, because look at our society. Look how upset because a lion was killed in Africa or the gorilla killed in a zoo.
More than a human.
More than a human, or more than how many thousand children are.
And I'll take that a step further, especially as a male. I'll speak from a male standpoint. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at the female and say, oh, wow, she's the best thing ever happened, rather than think about what created her. Mm-hmm. What made her so beautiful? Or what made the, on the female side, what made the male so beautiful? He is a creation of God, but we lose sight of the creation and begin to worship the creation.
Right.
That's how man falls away. We become prideful of ourselves. I'm forever worried about how well my hair looks. No, I'm not, but we could. You can tell I don't. But if we can get that way, can't we? We can concentrate so hard on the outer beauty and forget the inner beauty and forget who created that. Mm-hmm. What gave it life? What created that spark and that goodness? In society, we've become so materialistic, I hate to put it that way.
Yeah.
We've become so materialistic about how we view things. It's not what you have, but how you live that's important to God.
Yeah.
God doesn't care if we have anything. He can give us the world. Mm-hmm. I'll be still, I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. I had just one scripture reference to go with where he was talking about where the patient was in the 8th verse. It's
the 8th verse? Okay.
Yeah, it's Psalms 37 and 7.
And Psalm 37?
Psalm 37 and verse 7. And it says, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospered in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And then there's another one in that same 37th chapter, verse 34, in that same chapter. And it says, wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Again, you know, just exhorting us to have patience. We have to run this race with patience. And, you know, we don't, like Brother Noel was saying, we don't get everything as soon as we want it, but it's in the Lord's time, you know, because the Lord said that he want to try people. And I think that's why he doesn't always do things exactly when we want them done, you know, to see if we're going to have faith to keep trusting him, keep moving forward, keep believing him and doing his will.
Would you read verse 37 out of that same psalm?
Okay. Verse 37 says, mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Amen.
Amen. That's what God gives us, is peace.
Yeah.
That's what God gives us. We find ourselves running to and fro and chasing everything. We really do. In my case, I chase by an ice cream. But if you think about it, what really gives you peace? What gives you an everlasting something that stays with you? If I eat that piece of pie, it all just goes one place.
Yeah.
if you have the peace of God, that's everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yeah. And the Messenger even says that, you know, in the world there's a cry for peace, but there is no peace except in the hearts of them that do the will of the Lord.
Thank you.
That's the only place where there is peace, lasting peace.
Amen.
Sister Lyle, would you read verses 9 and 10? Gloria.
Blessed are all those that defile sin, this cause believers in all the worlds. That I bring truth short, I live and live, not all error. Shape your lives. speech, and you need to be loved. And then the next one is, there are those that are traitors.
Traitors.
You know, in that ninth verse there, the Lord said that we're blessed if we defend this cause, you know, if we live it and defend it, you know, because he calls on us to, as the scriptures say, warn the world but save the innocent heart. In other words, we have to warn all those that we can. All of them won't hear, but we have to be obedient and giving the warning and sharing the word with them and then defending it. You know, they may not accept it. They may, you know, want to argue about it, but all we can do is defend it. We can, you know, take them to the Bible and prove it to them, and if they still don't want to accept it, then, you know, that's on them. But our responsibility is to share it and then to defend it, you know, to defend this word. And he also says, in that night, shape your lives by the words I bring to you, and it will be well with you. You know, and that's mentioned so many times in the messages, you know, that we shape our lives by these words. You know, I always picture, when the Lord says that, a sculptor who's sculpturing something, and he shapes it. He wants a curve there. Well, he takes it, and he pushes it in and makes the curve, or he wants an opening here. But in order for him to shape it, the clay has to
malleable
to his will. It has to, when he pushes in, it has to move in. Or when he pulls something out, it has to come out. So it's kind of like our lives. By the word, we have to shape it. When the Lord says, you know, do this, we have to be willing to do it and to try to move in the direction that he wants us to move.
One thing sometimes we get confused about, he says, shape your lives by the words I bring to you. Sometimes we think we're the ones doing the shaping. Go back and read that a little closer, what it says. Shape your lives how? By the words I bring. Mm-hmm. In other words, we're supposed to allow him to shape our lives. We're supposed to be the clay. He's supposed to be the one that models it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, for us to happen, we've got to be malleable ourselves. We can't be rigid in our stance with God. We're not supposed to be like reeds shaking in the wind, but we should be malleable to God to do his will.
Amen.
You think about the prayer that God taught us to pray. Our Father which art in heaven, okay. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Then what's the next verse?
Thy will be done.
That's really tough. Maybe the rest of you it isn't, but for me it is. Because I have my own will that I want to do. But if we want to be shaped, we have to let his will change us. That's what does the shape. That's how we shape our lives, is by submitting our will to his.
Yeah. I think that's the challenge we all have, is that, you know, like what Norm was saying, we have things that we want to do. We have plans that we think are important and goals that we think are important that we want to reach. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, the only thing in the end when we stand before Christ is going to matter is, did we do the things that he asked us to do? All the other goals that we reach, all the other things that we accomplish, won't mean anything if we don't accomplish the things that the Lord asked us to do.
Amen.
You know, those are the important things. And I think that's the fight that we all have, is putting our lives in a position that we can surrender those things to Christ. You know?
Doug would like you to read 2
Corinthians
chapter 11, verse 14 and 15.
Okay. Verse 14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's true. You know. And that kind of goes along with, you know, there are those that are, the messenger said, that are traitors to the work.
Yeah.
You know, who were a part of the work, but, you know, when they walk away and then fight against the work, then they become traitors to the work.
Well, it comes back to, you'll know by the fruits of their labor.
Right.
You know, the works that you do, as in this life of probation, you see someone's heart or someone's life, really what they believe by the fruits of their labor.
Amen.
You know, and then and that's what we are judged on.
That's right.
Is our work, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Mm-hmm. You know, as it told us there in Alma, you know, 40, and then also Alma verse 9, or chapter 9.
That's true.
There's a bit of a tendency in society today that everybody gets a reward.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're going to have a bunch of children, they all run a race. Maybe one child ran harder and trained better and did everything, and so he finished first. But you can't give him any reward. You got to give everybody the same reward. Mm-hmm. That reflects later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Because then if we're all striving to be near Christ, and yet somebody that just lays back and, oh, well, you know, if he gets the same reward as I do, where is the justice of God?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing where we all do get the exact same reward is what? Anybody know?
Salvation.
Salvation.
Yeah.
We all get the same. In other words, just because Terry's the best apostle that ever walked the earth and he walked on water and he can move mountains by his prayers, I'm going to have the same reward he gets. We get the same exact reward. Maybe God called him to walk on water and to move mountains, but maybe all he called me to do is sweep the floor. But if I'm obedient to sweeping the floor, I get the exact same reward he gets.
But on the other side, if you didn't accept him, you don't get the reward.
You got it. Thank you, Carol. The key is in following through with the will of God and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
We all don't like that word obedience because that means we have to give up our will.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like you to be obedient to what I tell you to do. But that's a little out of shape in God's plans.
Right.
It is. So. Can I say one thing to the youth? Because I'm an old man now. All my life I dreamed about being a pilot, and God allowed that to happen. Oh, I was so happy. And I didn't, nobody paid my way through school. I worked in the mines to get there. So I really, really appreciated it when I got my commercial pilot. I was so proud. And then God called me in the ministry, and I had to give it all up. You know, sometimes we have desires to wear a pilot's wing, or maybe to be a doctor, or a lawyer, or a policeman. That doesn't mean we can't do those things and still minister. But you ask Arlene what my first job is. You can ask her any day of the week. She'll say everything I've done in life has been that I might be able to do the ministry. That's the only reason. Because that was what God wanted. I'm not saying I'm good. I'm just foolish for Christ. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. I am a fool for Christ. But that's what we should do.
Amen.
Because in the end, if I have a pilot's wing and I'm the best pilot in the whole world, is that going to get me to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
And heaven is a little longer than this life. I'm about at the end of my life. Soon I'll die. But then comes what? Eternity.
Right?
How many can explain to me eternity in this room? Can you even conceive it? Can you even imagine it? You know that the time we're on this earth is like the time the baby's in the womb, about 9 months. Amen? Well, we're here on this earth now. We're in the womb. If we progress in God, we're going to be born into eternal life. But if we don't, we're going the other direction. And that's also for eternity.
Mm-hmm.
There is a hell.
Back to the 82nd message. Brother Larry, would you read the 11th and 12th verses?
They teach diligently the doctrine of the gospel of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. Let your conversations be in humility. But this shall be your power in winning the brother, whose minds are in the dark. I'm going to read that again. Teach diligently the doctrine of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Let your conversations be in humility, but this shall be your power in winning your brother, whose minds are in the dark. Teach the truth. Tell the truth. Teach the word of God.
Amen.
Because we have no power. The word of God that has the power.
Amen.
He said, teach it. That would be your power in winning your brother. Trying to convince them this, convince them that, is giving the word. Remember? Just give them the word of God. What does the word of God say? That is the question. Put it in God's words. Like you say, you plant the seed and I will water it. Verse 12. Those that speak lightly of my coming and the words I bring have lost the Spirit of God and of this work of salvation. Satan has sought to have them. Save all that you can. One more time. Those that speak lightly of my coming and of the words I bring have lost the Spirit of God and of this work of salvation. Satan has sought to have them. Save all you can. Speaking lightly of this word. If you don't go along with what it says, tell you to do something, you don't do it. What's that? You don't have to say much. You know, our actions speak louder than any word we could say.
Amen.
So if you don't go along with what God has commanded, what are you doing? You're denying the word of God. And he says, Satan has caused it. He said, but don't give up on him. Try to get him to see. But you better go on.
I'm going to expound on the same thing. I want all of you to very carefully listen. Verse 11 said, teach diligently the doctrine of the gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? I usually wait for somebody to answer. I'm going to answer for you this one time. The doctrine of Christ is rather simple. God loved us so much that he created us. Then he saw that we were lost. So he took upon himself flesh, number two, came to earth for our salvation. He taught us how to live. Then he suffered and died because he knew he'd have to give us a transfusion. He'd have to shed his blood for us that we might have life because we had chosen death. And then he arose from the dead to show us he had the power. That is the gospel in its purity. And people don't teach that. The churches don't teach it. They want to talk about three different gods. They want to talk about whether there's a rapture or not. They want to talk about many things, whether there's a pope or not. But they get away from the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine is that Jesus Christ is God, that he loved us and came down upon earth in the form of Christ, that he shed his blood for us. And verse 12 goes hand in glove with that, because men fell away from him, began to teach other things in the doctrine. So he said he would send John to bring us back to what? To John's doctrine, to the fact an angel comes? To bring us back to the doctrine of Christ.
Amen.
Do you think Christ set up 7,500 different churches with all different doctrines? Teach diligently the doctrine. The doctrine that Christ is God. That he came for us, that he shed his blood for us. And if we would receive him, he would make us his children. How much more simple can it get? How much more simple can it get?
Well, we are the ones that confuse it.
We do.
Mankind. Yeah.
When I say we, I'm not just picking on the church.
No, mankind.
Mankind.
We add to it, just as it did in the Old Testament, to where it became a point where nearly no one could be saved. Christ had to come.
He had to come, and he had to send forth the messenger
yep.
to bring us back to that very doctrine.
Yep.
And when we ordain them, have you ever read what the record Nephi said we're supposed to tell them to do? Oh, maybe we should just for a second. Record Nephi, Moroni.
Yeah.
Just for a minute, then I'll be still. I shouldn't open my mouth. I ought to be thoroughly quiet. But it tells us. It tells us very plainly about how to ordain men, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Ah, here we are, chapter 3, book of Moroni. The manner of which disciples were called elders in the church. Where on earth did we start calling them bishop? Oh, well, let me stop there. Peter said he was an elder. Was he not an apostle?
Mm-hmm.
All apostles were elders. Okay, after they prayed to the Father in the name of Christ, they laid their hands on them. And they said, I ordain you a priest, or if he's a teacher, I ordain you to do what? To preach repentance and remission of sins through Christ Jesus. Did it say anything else for him to do?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Was it really complicated beyond that? Does that mean we can't know the beginning and end? Well, the scriptures tell you that. Does that mean we don't know how to have marriage? And how to conduct our lives as a family? No. But the doctrine is that Christ saves us. Amen?
Amen.
That God took upon himself flesh and came for us. That's a doctrine. So simple a child understanding. Amen? And the fact people fell away, it's so obvious that God had, because he still continued to love us, that he sent somebody to restore. Restore means bring back to what? The doctrine. I'm an old man. I've been in the church for a while. And I've watched people quarrel over what the doctrine is. Come on, it's simple. God bless you.
Amen. You know, the Malachi says that the curse is lifted with John's coming.
Amen.
Because he's restoring us to the true gospel of Christ, you know, and bringing the authority so that the people in God's church can be established, so that when Christ comes, there is a church just like the one that he established, you know, before he left and ascended into heaven.
And the first curse came when Adam and Eve fell away from God, didn't it?
Amen.
The second curse came when we fell away from Christ.
That's right.
Then he's going to bring us back, and it says, in Revelation 22, what does it say? It says the curse was lifted with the coming forth of the angels.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Tim, okay. We got about Tim back.
Go ahead. All right. Moses speak lightly of my coming, the words that I bring, and lost the Spirit of God and the work of the salvation. Save the sons of Adam, save all the kings. 13. Oh, that they would pay for to the words that I bring, and the still small voice of the Lord. Defend this cause for it is, in the meantime I lifted from the curse. Behold, the Lord will speak in greater power for mankind. That he may be filled and find life in the light of living. Yea, and I come forth in the resurrection of the Lord. Verse 4. Let me read 14 again to 15. Behold, the Lord will speak in greater power for mankind. That they may be filled and find life in the light of living. Yea, and come forth in the resurrection of the Lord's calling. They that reject my words and heed not already have been without authority of this world.
Amen. You know.
So today is you look around today, and, you know, people haven't heeded the words anymore, and they haven't, you know, taken things to heart and lived in their lives. So this is kind of the same warning to, you know, to all of us. And there's so many teachings out there. Ed, when you were saying how we need to get back to the purpose of what we do in our churches, we go back to the original teachings, right? So one of my friends was talking to him about what's the difference between our church and other churches, and I was mentioning that, remember, you know, how people fall away, why there's 30 different, 50,000 different churches.
Right.
At some point, there was, when Christ walked the earth, was one.
Just one, right.
And then from when all the disciples died, then people took on different learnings and teachings and started to have Catholic Church and all that stuff. Just, and that's where we are today with thousands of different religions and beliefs. Our church is about going back to when Jesus walked the earth and teaching the people. He's like, that's what, and so he got it then.
Right,
that's,
right.
Because there's so much out there.
Right.
But if you understand what we're doing, we're going to go back to that foundation, because we've had so much has fallen away.
Amen.
And so he's like, I can get it back.
Yeah, that's true, you know, because that's exactly what it is, you know, because the Bible says that God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if he were to give his gospel and establish his church in a certain specific way, and then leaves and goes to heaven, and he's going to come back to his own, not to somebody else's church the way they've set it up or the way they've established it. So it has to be that same gospel, that same church structure that he left. Or else, if he accepted it when he came back, then he must be a changeable God. You know, the scriptures say he's an unchangeable God. You know, and so it has to be, like you said, he's the messenger's coming is bringing us back to the same gospel that Christ preached. You know, because it has to be that way. Go ahead. Did you have something?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, we look at this, And it says, the Lord, the one he said, verse 14, behold, the Lord will speak in greater power. The book of Joel tells you in the third chapter and 16th verse, the Lord shall roar out of Zion. American Zion people don't understand that. And utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. If you read through the record of Nephi with any kind of, if you read it just like a book, you know, briefly kind of read through the first time, you'll find out God took his people and shook them, allowed bad things to happen, horrible things to happen to them. Wasn't because he hated them. He's trying to shake them up a little bit. My dad used to tell me to take a penny over and stick it in the electrical socket. He said, you won't do that again because he'd shake the tar out of you, right? You know, you learn from... God allows our ignorance to shake us up. And sometimes he wants his people to awaken. You wonder how everything's happening in the world today. We can look at the events with ISIS, couldn't we? We can look at the events in Florida. We can look at how our politicians are running. There's things that should shake us, right? Our economy should shake us. Should it not?
Mm-hmm.
Amen? Our finances should shake us.
Mm-hmm.
AIDS should have shook us.
Right.
Amen? It isn't God's cruel. He's trying to, you know, the earthly body, this earthly shell, really isn't so important. He wants us to be concerned for our soul. And so he allows the earth to be shaken. And the United States right now is getting shaken rather heavily. You know why it's being shaken so heavily? Because we're turning away from God. We're turning away from God. You don't have to look around and point your finger at the Baptists or the Methodists or some other group or whatever church you think is doing wrong. He's shaking our nation because he wants it to come back to God. And it says right there in verse 14, if you read it very carefully, the Lord will speak in greater power. You ever want to know what greater power is? Stand in an earthquake someday. The whole earth shakes, you say, oh, I have no control over this one. Amen?
Amen.
That's the power of God. I heard people during lunch talking about tornadoes. That's the power of God. If you ever watch a tornado go by, you go, I have no control.
Yeah, when you're in your school
and you become an utter fear, do you not?
Oh, yeah.
And yet we say, well, look how cruel and vengeful God is. He doesn't want us to lose our soul.
Amen.
One last word to people that haven't been baptized that are sitting in this room. I want them to hear. The rest of you can be quiet. The people that have not received Christ and been baptized. I want you to think about something. You got a God that created you, a God that loves you, a God that wants to give you eternal life. And you sit still. Don't tell me you're not sitting still. The Spirit of God wants to give you life. He doesn't want you to come to Him perfect. He just wants you to come to Him. When I finally made a decision to be baptized years ago, Arlene put up with a year of hell with me because I thought I had to be perfect so I could get baptized. I had to clean up my life so I could be just right. And the harder I tried to clean up my act, the worse I got. Because I couldn't clean it up. Only God could. And only God could give me eternal life. Only God could do that. You're going to tell me you can sit in a room and realize God created you and wants to give you life, and the only way you're going to receive it is to become one with Him? You won't do it. I'm sorry, baptism is important. It's extremely important. Because that's the only way we have life. Eternal life. I hope I haven't offended anybody in that statement. Not trying to scare anybody, but that's the only way we have eternal life.
Amen.
If you're going down the road in a car, and a car's going 100 miles an hour, and you've got a brick wall, will you at least have the brains to step on the brake or turn the wheel, do something? Or would you just say, I'm doing 100, I'm going to hit that wall, everything's going to be great? There's life in Christ. Receive it.
Amen. Amen.
Don't wait for it to be shaken like he's talking about with greater power.
And going on in that 14th, he says, would mankind eat that he may be filled and find life and light in living? Yea, and come forth in the resurrection of the Lord's calling.
Resurrection, that means being born again.
Amen.
In Him.
And I got a reference St. John, the third chapter, and this when Christ was talking to a man named Nicodemus, who was one of the leaders of the Jews, and he wanted to talk to Christ. You know, and he climbed up in a tree so that he could wait for him and ask him a question. And St. John, third chapter, and we'll start, I might as well start the first verse. He says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, the Lord told him plainly that you must be born again, Nicodemus. But, you know, Nicodemus, thinking of the physical, you know, asked him another question. He said, Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born again if he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? You know, he asked a practical question. How can I be born twice? I've been born once. You know, he didn't understand. Christ goes on, and Jesus said, answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And so the marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. You know, we have to receive that new birth, you know, to be alive in Christ, to come back unto his presence. You know, Adam and Eve, through sin, separated themselves and all of mankind from God. And the only way we can come back into his presence is to be born the second time, you know, of the water and of the Spirit, to enter into his kingdom, you know, in which we know that the doors into God's kingdom is faith, repentance, and the baptisms. You know, the baptism of water by those having authority, and then comes the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Christ promised to us, you know, that comforter that would lead and direct us into all truth. You know, and these are the promises of God, and the only way we can enter and truly enter into his kingdom is through that door.
It also tells you in the Gospel of John chapter 1 that I'll read it so I don't misquote it. It says, but as many as received him, it didn't say believed, it says received. There's a difference. Believe, you just, yeah, I believe that color is blue. But receive, it becomes part of me. To become the sons of God, even those which would believe on his name. Verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, for the will of men, but born of God. I had no choice how I was born. I didn't choose my parents. I didn't ask to be Cherokee. No, I didn't. Did you ask to be African American? But you are. Amen?
Yes, sir.
But we had it. We have a choice to be born of God.
Amen.
We have a choice. That's a choice. My wife made a choice 40 years ago. Her name was Laird. She made a choice to become Lyles. She became one with me. Best decision I ever made. She didn't make it, I made it. But God, we have a choice with him too, don't we? Choose before it's too late.